Colonel Belaga this morning, your news talk and information station. Do it on Mondays as Church and Pastor Spotlight. We've gone a little different direction because, well, I guess I do have a pastor in the room. You preach from time to time, Kevin. Especially
when they can't find anybody else anywhere else.
Especially, right? Especially to me when you see how I live my life. You preach to me.
Man, Lori begs me to.
I know. Did you know Kelly Lentz, by the way, joins us, a special guest as Kevin brings Kelly in and worked on stuff together. And she's going to be speaking at your Sehoy event that you have got coming up in October. Little unknown fact, did you know Kevin married my wife and I?
Sort of.
Then it turns out I wasn't legal and
right.
I didn't sign the thing, so no.
Yeah, that was back when you had to do that.
It was.
I don't think you have to do that anymore.
No, you don't.
Not just that is he was, as you see, he's on his cart. He was a little late because he had the wrong shoes on, and the wedding planner that they hand you, you don't have a choice. They just give you one at the church. She didn't like me already, and she kept saying, "Where's the preacher?" And I said, "I don't know. I wouldn't give in to her. I just was like, I have no idea." And she said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "I don't know. That's you. You're the wedding planner. That's your job. You figure it out."
marry us.
I might have made it tough.
No. He didn't make it tough. He had called to tell me he was on his way. I wasn't telling her that. At that point, she had already made her bed, so she had to lie in that. So he showed up, and like he said, the whole time during our when we were doing our, I guess you called it, consultation leading up to it when you took Lori and I.
The marriage counseling?
Yeah, the marriage counseling thing.
Yeah.
And he kept
glad,
on saying.
Glad you remember that so well.
He kept on saying, your number one rule, we're getting married that day. That's what we're going to do. We're not worried about all the rest of the stuff, not worried about all the hoopla around it, is we're going to make some promises to one another, and we're going to walk, and 18 years later, still going strong. So, worked. It stuck.
Yeah, there you go. Good. It's not my fault it stuck.
That's, yeah, I know.
That's you and Lori.
You have a one-for-one success ratio.
Oh, no. I got some. Yeah, I'm batting about 800.
So. Nice.
That'll get you in the Hall of Fame.
It will. 300 gets you in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, hey, that's great. 800. So, Kelly, we bring you in, and Kevin suggested that you come, and you're going to be speaking. And we'll talk about the Sehoy event and some of the things that you'll talk about there. But you're in a unique situation because your job, what you do for a living, is with you acting and writing, and do you produce as well?
Working on it, yeah.
Oh, so there you go. And but you're in a field that, let's just say, gets kind of the, I guess the everybody looks at it and they go, there's just not a lot of Jesus walking around in that field as far as work is concerned.
It's not super popular to talk about Jesus in Hollywood. Although there's a lot more than you think. It's just there. It's quiet.
Yeah.
Quiet pursuit.
Well, I said, because Kevin and I have talked about this before. I mean, when you're Chris Pratt and you talk about it, when you've done Guardians, it's not going to cost him a role, probably.
Yeah.
And Mark Wahlberg, same thing. Talks about goes to Mass every day, very faithful. Again, when he gets ready to sign up for a role or gets ready to audition, probably nobody's going to bring up his faith whenever that's in there. However, I do wonder if that does that get brought up at all when you're looking to work on projects to your faith?
No, not at all. Not in the audition process or anything like that. That's just an outside topic to them. And then, you know, as it relates to bringing faith into the workplace, I've always just sort of felt like people don't really want to hear you talk the talk. They want to see you walk the walk. So it's not like I'm walking onto a film set with like a sandwich board that says the end is near or anything like that. It's a lot more about living as an ethical human being and being a pleasure to work with and being respectful of other people. And then if you're invited to talk on that topic, you've developed the relational equity to do so. And that has happened, quite a few times over the last 30 years that I've been in the industry. So,
Now, let me ask you, because Kevin, he's brought this up years ago to me, and so I ask a lot of guests that come on here at 7:30 this question. As far as finding your faith with the Lord, did you feel the fire or did you see the light? Because as Kevin said, that most preachers, when you look at them, that's the first thing that he said before. You either feel the fire or you see the light, and that kind of helps you with your calling. How was your story?
As far as me being introduced to Jesus?
Yes. Were you raised in the church?
No. Actually, I was the first Christian in my family. I was 4 years old, and my mom was a single mom at the time, and she sent me to a Christian school that her sister-in-law, who did feel the fire, she said, send Kelly to this school. It's cheaper than daycare. And so because I could already read, I was able to go into this private Christian school, and it was my kindergarten teacher that first said the word God to me. Like, I had never even heard anything. And it was interesting because I came home that day. I still have this memory. And I was standing in my bedroom. And I remember saying out loud, I knew there had to be something like that. And from then on, I was a Christian. And then later, my mom ended up becoming a believer. And then she actually broke up with her fiance at the time because he was not. And she's like, this isn't going to work unless we're both on the same page. And now he's a believer as well. So it was sort of backwards into my family.
Oh, so he felt the fire and saw the light.
Yes. He's like, well, all right, I guess a little Jesus can't hurt. I want into this family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
That's very cool. Kevin didn't tell me all that. And take us through then. I mean, as then you grow up and then you start, I guess, growing up.
Let me do something real quick, Ben.
Okay.
Because I want folks that are listening to kind of get a sense of who Kelly is as she talks about who she really is. Mm. But I just a little background, because for those of you who don't know, and maybe looking, scanning your Facebook and your Instagram, maybe pull up Google Kelly IMDb, you Google Kelly Collins Lentz, and you're going to find out that Kelly's been a working actress for 30 years. She's been on stage and screen and projects like, and she can't say this because of the strike right now, mm-hmm. but I can, because they're not going to come after me. But she's been in One Tree Hill, Army Wives, Miracles from Heaven, by the way, one of my granddaughter's favorite movies. We saw that together long before we knew who Kelly was, and just a great movie with are you allowed to say who you
Jen Garner.
Yeah, Jen Garner. She plays her best friend in there. Little Jennifer Garner. Gifted, The Mist, and We're the Millers. She's got four kids who all have grown up in the industry with prominent roles in things like The Walking Dead, Miss Marvel, Bosch, Under the Dome, by the way, one of my favorites that nobody ever talks about. Movies like Love, Simon, Pixels, Hunger Games, and just so much more. So Kelly is an industry, when we're talking about an insider who's talking from knowing what it's like in that industry, she has definitely not only lived there, she's raised kids there, which that's another show. She's got blog posts and stuff that just talk to parents of kids in the industry to help them navigate, which we all look and see how a lot of those kids turn out mm-hmm. later on and go, that could not have been good. So that's been one of her sons now playing golf on the scholarship player for Southern Union, and is going to be in the event as well this October. So
okay.
Another opportunity to see some of them. But anyway, just now go back to your question. As folks are listening, Google her, check her out, follow her on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever she is, and keep seeing some great stuff there.
Before we do that, let's take a break. Let's pay some bills. We're not on strike, so we got to do that. We got to pay bills.
You don't pay me anything.
Yeah, no, we don't.
What is that
you
all
know,
about?
And we get what we pay for, right, Kev?
A little less.
Auburn Opelika this morning, your news talk and information station.
Proud to serve the Auburn Opelika community for over 25 years.
News Talk,
WKNI. Auburn Opelika this morning, your news talk and information station. Kevin joins us as we'll still do the big screen movie reviews a little bit later on this week. But right now, he's put on his pastor hat, preacher hat. Is that what you want to call it?
No, I'm just the edge consultant, but thank you for elevating my career.
That's what you call it. And Kelly Lentz is who he set us up with. And Kelly, you mentioned when you were five, is that's when you realized that there was something to higher power and that kind of thing. And so kind of walk us through your career a little bit and how you got, like, what made you go into acting?
Same thing. I had a little moment in a church play when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I had a few lines and whatever I said made the audience laugh. And I realized it was like they were laughing in the good way, not at me, but with me. And I literally have spent the last 45 years attempting to recreate that moment over and over again. And that's how I got into the industry. And, you know, my parents, there's no other actors in my family. So I grew up doing a lot of theater and went to school, went to drama school and thought I was headed to Broadway. But when I graduated from college with a degree in performance, I had a job offer in Orlando, Florida. And it had nothing to do with the entertainment industry. In fact, it was with a ministry called, at the time they were called Campus Crusade. Now they're called Crew. And God said, you know, this organization really affected you in your college years, and I want you to go work for them. And I was like, hang on, that's south, not north to New York. And but, it, you know, that still small voice doesn't really let up. And so I took the job, and it was there when I got there that I realized that Central Florida was the commercial capital of the United States, as all the advertising agencies would go down there during the winter to shoot commercials. And I was able to get an agent right away and get my SAG card within 9 months. And all of my friends from drama school were starving in New York or Los Angeles. And they were like, did I just see you on a McDonald's commercial? And I was like, you did. And it was a great backdoor into the industry that I never would have known about, but God knew about it. And that's how I got my start, you know, on in film and television. And then 10 years later, he did the same thing. He said, it's time to go to Atlanta. And I was like, huh? What do you mean? Everything's going so well. And moved to Atlanta, and we were there. By this time, my four children were following me into the industry, and we were there when Atlanta, you know, on the ground floor of what it has become today, which is basically the Hollywood of the East Coast.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you hear stories. Us outside the industry, we hear stories all the time about how stuff being shot here. I mean, I've told Kevin before, my wife is in lending industry, and one of the loan officers that she works with, he got in with the Walking Dead folks because they move out here from L.A. and they shoot right here in West Central Georgia. And
very familiar.
Yes, and so
that's all I'll say.
Hey, they've all been in that. I also will say this: so Orlando, because that's where the industry was taken off. God moved her there. Then Atlanta, right before the industry took off there. And I just want to give you an insight. Then they've moved here. I don't know if the industry's about to take off here, but some projects are.
Well, that was my question. Why Auburn?
Again, you know, we thought we would never leave Atlanta. That's, you know, the bulk of my career has been spent working on projects that film in the Southeast. My children have, you know, all gone on to do even bigger and better things. And about a year and a half ago, I started to write. I started to write content because we've spent 30 years telling the stories of other people in front of the camera, and we want to start telling some stories of our own. And so I went back to school, actually, for screenwriting, and loved it so much to the point where I was like, maybe this is what I should have been doing all along. And over the last 30 years, my husband is an Auburn grad. He was a plainsman. He was the IFC Rush vice president. He was like he was as Auburn as you can get.
Okay.
And has been trying to get me to move here for 30 years. And I always would say, you know, like, well, I love Auburn. I'll go to Auburn whenever you want. But like, what would I do in Auburn? Like, and with the way the industry has changed since COVID, most auditions, like my son Matt was a student here during COVID and Hollywood shut down. He's like, well, maybe I'll just go to Auburn and be a regular person for a minute. And about halfway through his freshman semester, you know, he did an audition from his apartment room online. That is the biggest job he's ever gotten to this date. And when he was finished filming that, he was like, Mom, is there any reason like why I have to leave and go to LA? Like I got that job from here. Why can't I just keep doing that? And I said, there is no reason, actually. In fact, we prefer that you stay in Auburn because LA darkens our souls. And I said, and as a matter of fact, we're coming too. We're coming too. So we came over here, and our goal is to spend time writing and developing projects for the family and inspirational content that sort of bridges the gap between, you know, what you get from Hollywood, which is very agenda-driven, and you find yourself saying, like, oh, it's a great story if you can get past the fact that it was basically porn. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have faith-based content, which you're saying it's a great story if you can get past, like, the bad acting and the low production value. I really want to bridge that gap and create amazing family and inspirational content that is excellently done. And we hope to do it right here from Auburn.
Now, are you allowed? Now, first, let me say this. When Matt was here and auditioned, she can't say this, but he is he is the sidekick to the star or the main character in Ms. Marvel. So the kids will know who that is. Tell your children. But you can talk about the things you're writing.
Yeah. So the first project that we have on deck that we're going to do is a project that takes, it's a true story that takes place in the world of kidney transplant. Which is interesting because Kevin is actually a kidney recipient. And so it's a true story about a pastor who was looking for, you know, to make a huge impact in the world. And he unexpectedly finds it by altruistically donating a kidney to a complete stranger. And it's a movie that has a mission as well. It's attached to a foundation called End the Wait. And their goal is to literally use this movie to spread awareness, to inspire 100,000 people to step up and altruistically donate a kidney, because there's 100,000 people on the wait list. 13 people die every single day because they can't get a kidney in time. And we want to end that wait list. So that movie has Dean Cain attached to star in it and help produce. I'm writing it. I'll be in it as well. And so that's the first project. The second
project. Let me pause you on the first one. I want folks to hear that. There are 100,000 people waiting for a kidney. Having been a kidney pancreas recipient, I know that list for a kidney is 5 to 7 year wait. The length of time somebody can stay on dialysis is maybe 5 years at the most. So a lot of folks won't make it. This movie could wipe out the need for kidney transplants in a year. And then it's just a stay current situation. It's phenomenal, the potential for this movie to change 100,000 people's lives in a year, give them a gift of life, which me now 13 years later, healthier and stronger than I have ever been. So bigger, but also healthier and stronger. So anyway, that's a powerful story that as folks have the opportunity over time, we will become of the community saying, hey, get involved, get attached, be a part, help make this miracle happen. So she, great spiel about the movie, but I want folks to know we're going to be talking to our community about helping us right here make this miracle happen for 100,000 people who are part of a family. If they only have 400,000 people, get the relatives, get the, I mean, the lengthening of lives.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize, like my dad is on dialysis.
Right.
He's not eligible to be on the list for various reasons. But I had no idea there were 100,000 people on the wait list until I started researching this movie. And then the second thing I think people don't realize is how relatively easy it is to donate a kidney. You really only need one. And the surgery is as simple as maybe like giving an appendix or getting your appendix out. And you can be back to work in a couple of days. And I had no idea, because in the people think like, well, what am I supposed to do? Give a kidney? And it's like, yes, that's what we're asking you to do.
And the thing is, you don't have to. They now have these chains where they'll bring, some hospitals brought up to 50 people in, and somebody brings a donor with them, but it doesn't match them, but it matches somebody else, and they do all those transplants in a day. I mean, it's phenomenal what can be done now to save these lives, and to it's just so it's going to be a powerful movie that's going to meet an even more powerful need that can alter. I can go on and on. That's a whole another show, and I know we got about a minute left.
We got like 40 seconds left. So Kevin, Seahoy event.
Seahoy event's coming up October 17th and 18th. You're going to be able to come here, hang out with, be around Kelly both those days. Her husband Mark will be there. Her husband and her son. Maxon, the golfer, they'll be there playing in the event on Wednesday the 18th. We got them. We've got, as we talked to Mark Immelman a week ago, he's going to be there as well. And then Coach Butch Thompson, who will be on this show in the next week or so. Great folks to just come hang out with, be around. It's a small event. It's an intimate event. It's an amazing setting down there at Seahoy, just south of town. And so put a team in, come play yourself, be a part, and help the Edge as we try to help these businesses impact their communities for Christ.
Download the TED app. That's the Edge daily app, and get your daily Proverbs, as we talk about it a lot of times on the big screen movie reviews, all brought to you by Domino's and the Edge. Do that today. And if you need any more information, you can contact Kevin.
Hey, and get to know Kelly and Mark Lentz, who are now members of our community. Great folks. I can tell you this. I follow them. I see they're falling in love with all the things we know are already great about this area. And it may start getting bigger because of them. So we don't want the Chamber of Commerce latching on into that. But anyway.
Loveliest village on the plain.
There you go. Very well said. Kelly, thank you.
Thank you.
Auburn Opelika this morning. Thank you too, Kev, by the way.